Tony, how long is it going to take to get through Mr. Irby? All right, let's proceed then. Let's do that.
Good luck.
That was fun.
Isn't that a great project?
It is.
Juliet, how are you?
I mean, they're going to sell a ton of freaking freight back and forth.
Good morning. I will try to keep this brief because I know we're right before lunch.
At least half, right.
This is the matter of Robert Trey Irby under the notice to comply number 12-01. We are requesting commission review of violations of Chapter 12 and 13 of Title 28.2 of the Code of Virginia, specifically the unauthorized installation of concrete riprap material on state-owned submerged bottom and non-vegetated tidal wetlands at property situated along the James River at 1519 Rustling Cedar Lane in Henrico County. Now, I'd like to make a note that Henrico County has not adopted the Model Wetlands Ordinance. Therefore, the commission is tasked with acting as the wetlands board in this matter for reviewing the wetlands violation. Mr. Irby's property is located in the Varina region of Henrico County. It sits about 4 miles upriver from the 295 bridge, about 3 from Hatcher Island. And if you continue up the James, about another 8 miles is Rockets Landing. This is an aerial photograph of the approximation of Mr. Irby's shoreline. He has about 388 feet that sit in the tidal reach of the James. The tide range is about 3.5 to 4 feet. He has a short eroding bank that is characterized with a lot of upland trees, some of which have fallen into the river. A lot of the erosion has been caused by upland runoff and periodic barge traffic up the James. I'm going to pause here for just a quick second and review sort of how this violation came to our attention. On December 6th of 2011, we received an inquiry from the Richmond Times Dispatch asking about permitting requirements for shoreline work. A nearby neighbor to Mr. Irby had contacted the Richmond Times wanting to know about permitting requirements. We followed up with this neighbor, and she informed staff that Mr. Irby had conducted shoreline work using concrete material and construction debris. This neighbor was concerned about the methods and wanted to know if any permits had been issued. A check of the database found that there were no permits and no joint permit application on file. The neighbor had previously informed Department of Environmental Quality in Henrico County. We therefore followed up with both. At DEQ, we spoke with Mr. Tony Cario. He acknowledged he knew of the complaint and was speaking with Mr. Irby trying to coordinate a site visit. He also sent us a report that was actually written by the county. This is book item number 6 in the book. This is a short report about the site visit Mr. John Fowler made. The report details that there were 2 truckloads of rubble dumped into the river, and the report is dated December 5th, 2011. Staff then followed up with Mr. Fowler. He is an environmental engineer for the Department of Public Works. He confirmed that he knew of the complaint and made a site visit, but that he was unable to issue a stop work order since the area disturbed was less than 2,500 square feet. Staff made a site visit on December 21st with Mr. Irby present and representatives from several local, state, and federal agencies. Department of Environmental Quality, Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Henrico Engineering and Environmental Services Division, and Henricopolis Soil and Water Conservation District were all represented at the site visit. This was taken at our initial site visit on December 21st. Staff confirmed that there were approximately 150 linear feet of concrete riprap and gravel that had been placed along the riverbank. There was no bank grading, no filter cloth installed, and the material used was irregularly sized. There was also no proper tie-in to the uplands. This is looking downriver along Mr. Irby's property. Mr. Irby explained that he had placed the concrete to prevent further erosion along his property. At this point, we discussed VMRC jurisdiction over state-owned submerged land and within the tidal wetlands, as Henrico County has not adopted the Model Wetlands Ordinance. We discussed the need for permits to conduct shoreline work and techniques for proper design revetment. Mr. Irby at that point informed staff that he could not afford a proper revetment and that this was the best that he could do to stop the erosion. These are just a couple photos of the material that were used. You can see here a piece of rebar, some smaller gravel pieces. Just again, some more gravel, a couple pieces of plastic, just a regularly sized material that was placed along the shoreline. We advised Mr. Irby that this was a violation, and we discussed several options with him, the first of which being if he removed the material, this would eliminate the violation. He didn't want to proceed that way, so we also said that he could submit a joint permit application for the existing material, but it was unlikely that we would recommend approval of such a revetment as it was not properly constructed. We also recommended that if he wanted to do any additional shoreline work that he needed to submit a joint permit application. He appeared cooperative with the initial site visit and agreed to remedy the situation. He requested a second site visit with Mr. Mike Van Landingham from the Department of Conservation and Recreation's Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service. Mr. Van Landingham often comes out to shoreline erosion projects and can offer alternative measures for protection. We scheduled a second site visit for January 10th, 2012. Unfortunately, Mr. Irby had to cancel last minute due to family matters. We rescheduled for a site visit on February 21st, 2012. This was taken at the February 21st, 2012, and I think this gets a good shot of Mr. Irby's shoreline standing upriver looking looking downriver along his property line. And you can see there is erosion with some trees that have fallen in and several that are sitting close to the bank edge. At this site visit, we again reviewed the alternatives with Mr. Irby to completely remove the riprap and eliminate the violation, to use the existing concrete as core material in a properly designed revetment, the use of gabion baskets for a revetment, or to simply just grade the bank and vegetate. All of these options would have required Mr. Irby to remove upland trees, which he indicated he did not want to do. He did say at the site visit that he intended to submit a joint permit application for the after-the-fact approval to retain the concrete that he had placed. Staff then advised Mr. Irby that we would be issuing a sworn complaint and a notice to comply associated with the unauthorized concrete. And Mr. Van Landingham submitted his shoreline report to Mr. Irby on March 2nd of 2012, and this is book item number 5. These are just a series of photographs that were taken at the second site visit, and we were able to visit at low tide so we could confirm the exact nature of the impacts. And you can see the most of the riprap is located in the intertidal region. However, there are a few sections that do stick out channel-worthy mean low water. You can see here that there is a section here that does have a toe out below mean low water and sits on state-owned submerged bottom. This section is predominantly in the tidal wetlands. This area here, you can see the toe is peeking out into submerged bottom. So staff signed a sworn complaint on February 27th of 2012, and we sent a notice to comply on March 13th, which gave Mr. Irby 30 days to either remove the riprap or submit a joint permit application. The notice to comply was returned to our office on April 7th, 2012. It's unclaimed. The post office had attempted two deliveries. Mr. Irby then contacted staff not too long after that, saying he had missed a certified letter from the state, so we resent it on April 11th via certified mail. Book item number 7s A through C detail much of the correspondence that Mr. Irby and I had over the next month and a half concerning his intentions with the riprap and our several extensions of the notice to comply deadline. To date, we have not received notification that the riprap has been removed, nor have we received a JPA. In summary, staff believes the unauthorized concrete riprap is a clear violation of Chapter 12 and Chapter 13 of Title 28.2 of the Code of Virginia. Staff is sensitive to Mr. Irby's family matters and financial constraints and have worked with Mr. Irby to provide him opportunities to consider alternative ideas and ample time to remove the concrete or to submit a joint permit application. Several options were offered to Mr. Irby for shoreline stabilization that could be achieved for a reasonable cost. And while Mr. Irby has appeared cooperative throughout this process, his lack of response to our numerous requests for removal or a joint permit application do warrant further action. Staff recommends that the Commission direct removal of the concrete riprap from the shoreline within 30 days of this hearing, as the structure represents violations pursuant to 28.2.1203, 28.2.1306, and 28.2.1317B of the Code of Virginia. Should Mr. Irby fail to comply, staff further recommends the matter be referred to the Office of Attorney General for the appropriate civil enforcement action, including possible restoration and civil penalties. With that, I will take any questions, and I believe Mr. Irby is here as well, if there are any questions for him.
Questions of Ms. Giordano. Mr. Shake.
Was this done by a contractor or by the owner's personal equipment?
I don't believe it was done by a contractor. I think it was, staff has reason to believe that it was done just by personal contacts and for Mr. Irby.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to ask, what portion of the project would have to be removed in order to remove the violation?
Anything within between mean low water and mean high water, which is the non-vegetated wetlands intertidal area, and then anything below mean low water in the submerged land.
So is that about, I mean, what percentage of the material that's there would that constitute in your opinion? Approximately, is it half of it or
about
most of it?
I would say.
80% of it? Okay.
Other questions? Okay, thank you. You said Mr. Irby is present. Mr. Irby, you want to come forward?
Good afternoon.
So tell us why we shouldn't take action to turn this over to the Attorney General.
Mr. Irby, would you say your name,
please? Rob Irby. Let me swear you in. First, do you swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do. Can I start with a little background on this, how this whole thing started?
Go ahead.
I have a very vindictive neighbor that started all this. This is how the Richmond Vine staff got involved. She had threatened the county if in LICO to go to the media because they weren't doing their job. I'd already talked with the county and knew what I could and couldn't do, but they didn't know that I had to get a permit from BMRC. They just told me if I put more than 2,500 square feet of material in there that I had to get a permit from them to do it. That's why there was no action taken by them. They've also told me that I can't cut those trees down. So the bottom line is today, I don't have any problems whatsoever. I know y'all got to do your job. But the problem I have now is just getting this remedy. I can't, all this concrete was free. The contractor, that's what they do is break up concrete. And it was a barter thing. They could put that there. They didn't just dump it in the river. I put every piece in there, hand put every piece in there. And it was my understanding from talking to Randy Owens on another issue before that I could put it in the above the mean low water line. Apparently, I misunderstood him. But if you can pull those pictures back up, it wasn't low tide when those pictures were taken. At low tide, there's another 10 to 15 feet of mud out. I've lost over 30 feet of property line across there. And what has been mentioned is Henrico put a public boat ramp half a mile down the river from me. And ever since then, it's just constant traffic in the spring and the fall. And it's just, you could see the size of some of those trees that have fallen in the river. I mean, they're huge. They've been there over 100 years old. And the only problem I have is I can't afford, number one, to take all this riprap out. I'd have to pay a contractor to come do it. Number two, and Mike Van Landingham and the woman from Robin Wilder both agree that it makes no sense to do that, because if they come out there, you're going to have a backhoe. It's going to pull all that concrete back up against the shoreline and just create a ton of erosion. But they've agreed with me that the best situation would be to use that as a core material, which she's just brought up just a second ago, Juliet, and build the bank out with that core material, then come back, if I can ever afford it, and put the have a contractor do it with the fabric and riprap. But the bottom line, I'm losing my property. It's something that's not my fault. And I've got a, she alluded to family problems, but I've got a daughter that's been in a vegetative state for 28 years now. She's at home. I take care of her. My wife has to work. We don't have any money. That's the problem. All I'm trying to do is protect my property. And I can't afford to pay somebody.
Any questions for Mr. Irby? Mr. Irby, do you understand you're in violation of the law right now?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you have two choices. You either remove the material or you fill out an after-the-fact application to do something with it to improve the situation. And you've known about this since May, but you haven't chosen to do it.
My daughter's been in and out of the hospital 5 times over that period of time.
So how quickly could you get an after-the-fact application to us?
Well, and I don't have a problem with that. It's just I can't afford an engineer to draw all these fancy drawings. I can't do the calculations that are asked for in there. And if I could get somebody that could help me do it, I'd be glad to do it. But that's why I just said I think the best thing to do is come in here and talk with y'all about it and show you what I would like to do and what I can do, I'm able to do, and then go ahead and get that after the fact or whatever it's all done. So, but I just want somebody that's willing to work with me on something that makes sense. If I have to do what they were talking about, which is grade my property back so it's a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 slope, I'm going to lose approximately 20 trees. And I'll have to have somebody come cut those big trees down and remove them. That would, just removing those trees would cost me $20,000 to $30,000. I don't have that. I just plain and simply don't have. We've got medical bills that are just killing us. And when you've got both Mike Van Landingham, who was a state engineer for thieves, and the woman from Henrico County that is in charge of Chesapeake Bay, saying, you know, what you're planning on doing is the most reasonable thing to do if I can get y'all to work with me. And I have an email from her stating that, if you would like to see it. And
the chick,
are you saying to me that those two suggested for you to use irregular material without any filter cloth and grade it out into the river? That was their suggestion?
No, that wasn't a suggestion. They said to use it as a core material, which would build the slope out so I don't have to cut all these trees down. And also, and she's already, I believe, brought it up to use it as a core material, just to reclaim my land and slope it down with this material, then put the fabric over top of it. But they both agree that what's there now is definitely helping with the erosion. It's not hurting a thing. And if I have to take it out, it's going to create more erosion. And if I have to take it out, it'll stay that way. And it'll just continue to erode because I'm not going to cut all those mature trees down. I'm just not going to do that.
How did you get the material in there?
By a dump truck.
And your own dump truck?
No, it was, like I said earlier, the contractor that does what
they do. So contractor put material into the river without a permit also. And what was the contractor's name?
I don't even have any idea what the name is. I can tell you the contact's name.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the business.
I think that
was through a Craigslist ad.
I think that would be good to get. You could provide that to us later.
Well, like I said, they didn't just dump it in the river. They dumped it beside the river, and I hand-placed each one of those pieces of concrete. And it started off, if you look at it, with some huge, just plain, ugly pieces of concrete. I told them if you're going to bring it back, you got to make it more the size of riprap. so it looks right, and the hole actually works as erosion control, which it is.
Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that there are a couple of ways out of this, and one is to either remove that portion of the material that is comprising the violation right now. The other is to try to work with what you've got and build upon that. But in order to do that, the applicant has to bring forward a JPA. And in light of the difficult personal circumstances, perhaps some additional time is warranted for that. But it seems to me that at some point you've either got to agree to remove the material to remedy the violation or submit a JPA. And the JPA is going to involve work necessarily.
That can help me with that. They gave me a whole list of contractors. There's none in Richmond, none even close to Richmond. The only ones that were there are no longer in business. So I can't even get a contractor to come out there to give me any idea of what it's going to cost. And normally they would draw on contractors going to do the work.
Mr. Watkinson, you want to add anything?
I guess the only thing I would add is the way the application is designed, it doesn't have to be done by a contractor. And there are a lot of people in the business out there that do the applications for folks. It can be done by the property. It doesn't require a certified engineer or anything like that to put the drawings together to explain what the project is. However, I would suggest that I think Mike Benman and him offered some services in helping with the application process. He works for the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and they have what's called the DEES program, Shoreline Erosion Advisory Services Program. And that was a very robust program a number of years ago with numerous folks in all over the state helping people, just like Mr. Irby, with their shoreline conditions and providing them suggestions and advice. It's been whittled down to a one-person job and part-time job after that with Mike Van Manningham, but again, I think Mike had offered some of his services, sort of hiring a contractor or an agent to do it for him. I think early at some latitude to do something himself with maybe some services by Mike Van Manningham. We certainly will provide some advisory assistance, not in putting the application together ultimately what he should propose, but because we have to review this thing. I mean, we've got to review the application, we've got to look at it on its merits once we decide what he wants to do, but the extent that we can or some assistance from the way to do that. So, you know, I think that's been what we've worked towards all along here. And I know sympathetic Mr. Irby's situation, and it just seemed overwhelming, I'm sure, but I think we have to get through the situation that Mr. Robbins described.
Thank you, Tony.
And he was more than willing to come here today, but he didn't come.
Thank you. Are there any further questions of Mr. Irby? Thank you. The matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of what we heard, I would suggest that we try to at least create an opportunity for the applicant to put together a JPA with whatever assistance is available. I would suggest that we give them 60 days to do that. And if that action is not taken, then we'd have to come back and consider requiring removal of the material.
All right. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion, but also I'd like to I was somewhat confused by how anybody would say that they could just use this rubble material as a base and then put filter cloth on top. I don't think I think you might have some confusion, so before you do what you want to do, you need to have somebody that knows what would pass, our requirements. Because the filter cloth needs to go underneath any type of core material, not on top. So that means,
Mr. Irby, you can take a seat.
I'm just giving you a suggestion. In any case, the material will need to come back out, no matter how you proceed, because the filter cloth has to go underneath the material, not on top. So
Van Landingham is the one.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's fine. It was just, just explain that part of it since he brought it up.
Thank you.
So we'll deal with that after we get your JPA from you, if the motion passed. Is there further comments on the motion? Ready to vote? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you.